Well, for those of you who have noticed, we have 6 outlines and 5 messages. So we either not cover an outline or we combine one. So we decided all these outlines are so rich. So my responsibility tonight is to go through and cover both outlines in 60 minutes. Okay? We will do it. All right. We have tonight message 2 and 3 on the principle of the Nazarite. And I'm so glad that our brother Dan opened up this morning in the fellowship to see that God's intention in Genesis 1, 26 through 28 is that he would have a group of people that expressed him. Amen. There would be a God-man on the earth. Amen. You would look at man and you would see God. The very attributes of God would be expressed on man on the earth. This fully satisfies God's heart. Well, we realize that from the illustration this morning that man fell. And God's intention and desire was not fulfilled. Then, when the book of Numbers, the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were formed again into a nation, the Lord recalled and re-spoke his desire. And he spoke it in Exodus 19, where it says that he would like a kingdom of priests. In other words, all the people would be priests. And we found out a marvelous definition from our brother this morning that a priest is not one who dresses in a certain way. A priest is not one who just serves God in a religious way. No. A priest is one who contacts God. Amen. Wow! I'm a priest! Amen. You all are priests. Look at one another. James, look at one another. Nathan, just say one another, you're a priest. Do you believe it? Our brother mentioned this morning that when we were regenerated, we automatically became a priest. This is God's heart's desire, and this is God's intention. We are so happy that we could be priests, what? To absorb God and to convey God to others. The responsibility of a priest is to come to God with man and bring God to man, right? The priest goes into God's presence, and he comes out of God's presence to dispense God himself into others. This is what we're doing. All of you who are in school, actually your occupation is a student, but you're not just a student. You also are a priest. You are a priestly student. When you go to school, this is why it's very important to contact the Lord first in the morning. Andreas begins school. I begin this week, or is it next week, Andreas? You started last week already. This is a requirement for all the priests. Before you go to school, you must contact your God. Amen. Opening the Word little by little and praying the Lord's Word into you. That way, you could bring God to your classmates. You never know. You may be sitting in there, and the teacher may open the discussion about the existence of God. My daughter is a third-year student there. Dave is here up at Berkeley. And she said her first discussion in class was they opened up about the existence of God. Does God exist? And she said, Dad, I know God exists. I didn't ask her if she spoke anything or not. But anyway, what happens if someone speaks like this? Your professor speaks something? You can tell your classmate, you can tell your seatmate after class, I believe in God. You know why? Because I contacted God this morning. Amen. Amen. Do you think it's accidental that the person next to you in the class is just there? Out of so many millions and millions of students in this country? No, it may have been arranged by God. Amen. For what? That you could speak to them, that you could minister Christ himself into them. this is a real priest. I better go on. Well, a priest, as we read in Exodus 19, lives in God's presence. A priest enjoys God as his portion. But as we enjoy God as our portion, he also enjoys us as his personal treasure. I would even say, even junior hires, you are a personal treasure to God. Don't think you're just a common junior hire walking with everybody else. No, you are God's personal treasure. As God's personal treasure, we should separate ourselves. You have to tell your friends, don't touch me. Don't touch me. I am God's personal treasure. And you can be God's personal treasure too. Okay. So a priest in Exodus 19, we come back, right? We come back to the chart that our brother Dan gave this morning. Primarily, a priest lives a separated life. Well, we come tonight, that was just a little introduction or review. We come tonight to this matter of the principle of the Nazarite, and we have four main items here, which are found on your outline. But before we start, I'd like to get some help. I'm going to put some words. David, could you help me? We'll just put some letters on the board. We'll stop from top to bottom, okay? Well, first, we'll start with a V. This is what a Nazarite is. Starts with a V, okay? Then right below it, we'll have S squared, okay? Then below that, we have a C, yeah, squared, yeah, just two, yeah, yeah. Then we have a C cubed, okay? I wasn't very good in math, but when it comes to divine math, it's okay. Then, interestingly enough, we have an E to the fourth. Okay. You may say, what is this? This is a Nazarite. Amen. Well, the E to the fourth is how to become a Nazarite. So that's, we'll get to that as we go along. Well, I think we all know, as our brother shared this morning, that God's thought was he would have, and is a desire, that he would have an expression on the earth. Satan came in to damage man, to ruin man. Instead of man expressing God, man expressed God's enemy. But the Lord does not give up. A Nazarite was an allowance by God. Our brotherly called it in case of. You can write that down, David, over here. In case, quotes, in case of. You know, when you see, I think there's probably some signs here that it says, in case of a fire, pull this ring, right? In case of. Well, the Lord also had his in case of. In other words, if the tribe of Levi would fail God as priests, and the family of Aaron farther would fail God as priests, the Lord had an emergency situation. In case of the tribe of Levi failing me, I have this option. And that's the option of a Nazarite. In case all the priests fail me, the way is open for volunteers to come in and become the priests. None of us, I believe, tonight are from the tribe of Levi or from the family of Aaron. Even if you're of Jewish descent, you probably don't know who your forefathers really are. But in God's thought, we can all come in through this door. In case of, this is what a Nazarite is. Okay, so you won't stare at this too much. I'll have David come back up here and help us. Okay, what is a Nazarite? The first attribute of a Nazarite is a Nazarite is a volunteer, right? A volunteer. We spoke about that this morning. A Nazarite is a volunteer. Voluntarily offers himself to God. And we can see that in number 6. We can see that a Nazarite just offers himself willingly out of his love and desire for God, right? Then we see, what else is a Nazarite? A Nazarite, number 1, in S2, is separated. These are all acronyms, right? separated. A Nazarite is separated. If you look in these verses in Numbers 6, 1 through 12, separated is mentioned 12 times. The Lord makes the point. The Nazarite is not a common person. We may be born commonly. Nobody's born in a noble way. We're born common people. But God separates us. We are separated from the common, from the ordinary. As Brother Dan said this morning, sometimes we feel as young students, we're not that much. We don't have a lot. We don't have money. We don't have anything. We don't have this. We don't have that. But you can separate yourself as a Nazarite to be for God. Amen. What a calling. Okay, not only are we separated, but separation is for sanctifying or sanctified. So this is the second S. We have separated and we also have sanctified. When a Nazarite separates himself willingly and voluntarily, this gives ground to God to begin to sanctify him. Especially as a priest coming into the presence of God, right? We can be sanctified. Separated on one hand is a negative side. Sanctifying, on the other hand, is a very positive side. As Nazarites, we are both separated and also sanctified. And it's very interesting that all these words are found either in the reading of the excerpts or the outline. Okay? So I'm just pulling some of these items to make it clear for you. Now, what else is a Nazarite? CQ. A Nazarite is one who cooperates. Cooperates. God has a need. And we just as Nazarites would like to cooperate with God. Our God is great. Our God is omnipotent. But our God also has a need to be expressed and represented on the earth. And as the Nazarites, we can cooperate with him, and we will see how we do that as we go through the outline. Then a Nazarite is one who consecrates himself, right? A Nazarite consecrates himself to God willingly and voluntarily. Consecrates. Then the third C is a Nazarite complements, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T, right? Complements according to God's ordination. A Nazarite is a complement to God's ordination. So we have cooperation, we have consecration, and then we have complements. God's purpose requires our cooperation to complement God's ordination. Okay? So we have these three items. A Nazarite volunteers, a Nazarite is separated, a Nazarite is sanctified, a Nazarite cooperates, a Nazarite consecrates himself, and a Nazarite is a complement, right? A complement to what God has ordained. You will find this in the reading of the outline and the excerpts. Okay, let's go on quickly now. Roman numeral 1, how about we ask the sisters to read that together? Thank you, David. And we'll save E4 as we go along. I'll ask David to come up. Okay, sisters, can you read number 1 together strongly? Go. What a screensaver. Put this on your laptop. Take off all the other junk. Put this on there. God desires that what? That I, Nathan, right, would be a Nazarite, sanctified, separated, absolutely, ultimately to God, to be nothing, to be for nothing other than God, loving God, seeking God, living God, being constituted with God, to bless others with God, for the expression of God. This is why we read Psalm 73, 25. The psalmist cried out, I only have God. I only want God. God could be his unique desire on the earth, and his only possession in the heaven. This is what a Nazirite is. And this verse is found in Roman numeral 1, Psalm 73, 25 through 26. We all would like to be like this psalmist who only desires God. Amen. We are here because we love him and we desire him. Everyone who loves him say, I love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
This is not a small thing to say. I guarantee you, those of you who went to downtown Chicago today, if you stood up and say, stop, please stay with me, stand with me, and say all together, Lord Jesus, I love you. Hard to find people who would do that. Even if they love the Lord, they may not want to be embarrassed, right? But if you love someone, you're not embarrassed. You know, in Southern California, I'm sure it happens here in Chicago, recently somebody hired a private plane. And on the back of the plane, there was a large banner. I love Sarah. I thought about how much money it took to do that. He must be crazy. Well, if you love someone, you're not afraid. You're not ashamed, right? Amen. Why? When it comes, we can talk about all kinds of things. But as soon as someone's mentioned the name Jesus, we go, ooh, who's that? I don't know that man. We become embarrassed about him. No, if we love him, we just are so happy we could be with him. It's very good. The best way to be separated in your class, to be a Nazirite. You don't have to do it in a funny way. You don't have to do it in a loud way. The person next to you just say, so-and-so, I just want to tell you, I love Jesus. And right away, automatic separation. You don't have to make all the excuses. Let's go here. Let's go there. Oh, I can't do that tonight. I'm doing this. I can't do that tonight. It's just an excuse. The best way to be separated. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Spontaneous separation. Then they all know, don't. James, you know, if you go by James, you're going to get infected divinely with the Jesus germs. That's very good. That means, you know what will happen? You may feel embarrassed initially, but eventually, those who are looking for God will find James. They may say, I need something. I need something. This can't do it. This can't do it. I need to find. Who was that boy in my class that said, I love Jesus? There he is, James. James, tell me about your Jesus. And James can say, he can just minister Christ to that person. You don't know. You don't know. We shouldn't be embarrassed about the Lord. I'm not saying stand up on the table and say, you know, halt, everybody listen to me, these kind of things. But you shouldn't also withdraw and not say anything. The best way to be sanctified, especially, it's very good that this is the beginning of the school year. The best way, right? Don't wait until the month of May. By the time month of May comes, it may be too late. No. Is today September 1? Second. Before the week, next week ends, you just speak to someone. Oh, that'll be marvelous. I love Jesus. Just those three words are powerful and weighty. Okay. So, number two, let's have the brothers read number two. A, B, C, and D. Okay? Quickly, brothers. Amen.
Separating, sanctifying of oneself to God should follow the dealing with all the defilements. Priests are such by birth, ordained by God out of his initiation. Nazirites are such by a vow, separated to God out of their own initiation. The accomplishing of God's purpose requires our cooperation to complement God's ordination.
Priests are by birth, and this is something from God's initiation. Nazirites are by vow, and this is out of our own initiation. Now, number three begins the four points of a Nazirite. Number three, abstaining from wine and from anything related to its source, separated from earthly pleasures and worldly enjoyment. How about we have sisters read A together? God should be people's enjoyment and pleasure. As Brother Dan shared this morning, you know, in the life study of Genesis, Brother Lee mentioned three words. David, can you help me? There's another acronym. This is P3. Three words that that God could meet man's need. And the first is that God is man's provision. God is man's provision, right? The second word is that God is man's pleasure. At the very beginning, the real entertainment for man was God himself. The real provision was God himself. And thirdly, the real protection is God himself. And these are the three items that the three sons, right, were the father of to replace and to substitute God. If you don't have God as your provision, as your protection, and your pleasure, you have to have a substitute. And this is what the entire world is today. The world is substituting God himself as our provision, as our pleasure, and our protection. Do you believe that God can be our provision? Do you believe that God can be our pleasure? Do you believe that God can be our enjoyment? I like maybe Ricky, you could help me. Listen, I'm going to just have him read two verses in Psalm 16:11 and Psalm 43:4. Listen to this. Thousands of years later, after Genesis, some psalmists came in, and this is their experience of God. Go ahead, Ricky. Psalm 16:11 and 43:4. Yes, Psalms. 16:11 and 43:4.
Amen. In your presence is fullness of joy.
Amen. The Lord's presence is fullness of joy. Amen. He is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the hat has never yet been told. Sorry, read that again. Sorry, read.
Make known to me the path of life.
Amen.
In your presence is fullness of joy.
Amen. It doesn't only say joy, but fullness of joy. Amen. Have you ever experienced fullness of joy? Oh, as a Nazarite, you get this privilege. Amen. You can experience his presence as fullness of joy.
Amen.
Go ahead. Yeah.
At your right hand, there are pleasures forever.
Amen.
You have joy and pleasures. This is exactly what God can be to man. And this is exactly what Satan tries to usurp the young people. Right? In this way. Okay, go ahead. Ricky, 43:4.
I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy.
Amen.
And I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God.
Amen. To God my exceeding joy. I don't want an Old Testament psalmist to beat me in my experience of God. If God can be his exceeding joy in the Old Testament, don't you think that God can be our exceeding joy in the New? This is why the Nazarite should strictly stay away from wine. Earthly enjoyment. Why? What does earthly enjoyment do? Earthly enjoyment causes you to lose your taste for God. This is exactly what it does. Don't think, oh, I can just do this a little bit. I'm not that affected. I'm a little stronger than others. I grew up in the church life. It won't bother me. If I take a little wine here, a little of enjoyment here, a little of enjoyment there, eventually the subtlety of wine and the enemy is to change your tastes, that you would lose your tastes for God as your exceeding joy. Don't let anything ever take away your taste for God. The taste for God equals the taste for His Word. As soon as you begin to lose the taste for His Word, you realize something is off. Why? Because a lover of Christ, a Nazarite, loves God's Word. Wine also befuddles people. It just makes them a different person. This is what the worldly enjoyment does. It makes you a different person. It stupefies you. Right? It causes you not to know God or God's thought or God's plan. It causes you not to know God's heart. There's a befuddling, a stupefaction. It causes you to be dull related to God's purpose. This is what wine does. And then, as the outline says, it leads to a lustful conduct and a lustful intention. The Lord intended that we would enjoy Christ, right, as our real joy, and as our brother Dan mentioned this morning, the tree of life. We like to be those who enjoy Christ as our tree of life. Improper music also changes our taste. It changes our taste. Oh, I'm not sure these days, you know. It used to be that you had two things on your ears. Now it's reduced to barely anything in your ear. And the sound has become much better. But I'm afraid the influence of wine in music changes people. Why is it that we have hours amount of time to listen to music? When it comes to the Bible, I'm too tired. I don't have enough time. The Bible is boring. Why? Because subtly, things have been changed in our being. We just have to be careful to stay away from these things. Okay, how? My first E to the four. The first, you may have to do it here, two here, one and two. Maybe you can label it one, two, three, four. The way to abstain from wine is to enjoy Christ as the cheering one. Enjoy the cheering Christ. Okay? Enjoy the cheering Christ, especially in those verses in Psalm 16:11 and 43:4. A Nazarite not only knows how to stay away from worldly enjoyment, but a Nazarite also knows how to enjoy the cheering Christ. A Nazarite knows how to enjoy Christ. A Nazarite knows how to partake of Him until God becomes my exceeding joy. I don't need this. I don't need that. Not because someone told me not to have it. Because God is so much better. All you have to do is compare. If you go to a restaurant, there's a lot of good restaurants in Chicago. The brothers know a lot of them, right? Not only the brothers, I shouldn't be biased, also the sisters. You know, I found out recently, well, not recently, wow, sisters really like to eat. Amen? You would know, you just go to a grocery store, if you find something that says select, sell, by 8 a.m. this morning. If you don't, it's going to turn funny. I don't know if you would really buy it or enjoy it. But my goodness, if you go in the same grocery store and see something that says prime, just caught today. Oh, I don't know what it says. It aged so many things and this delicious. You would just know what tastes better. The world starts off with giving you something, but eventually it gives you junk. It conditions your taste to say, here, enjoy this, enjoy this, enjoy this. But eventually you find out, according to Luke 15, that what you're eating is not even what the pigs will eat. Do you want that kind of diet? Do you want to eat what the pigs eat? And the pigs look at it and they say, this isn't good taste. And yet you go and eat. That's what you're eating. That's exactly what the world does. We stay away from this. How? Not by a command, but by learning how to enjoy Christ. Amen. That means when we come together. The meetings of the church are very important. Don't miss a meeting, because in the meeting, we can feast with Christ. Amen. You can put aside all the things of the day and come to enjoy Christ. Many of you have had the experience. You may feel down. You may feel out. You come to a meeting, you get revived, you get refreshed, because you are enjoying the cheering Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. We have B here. I think I better go on. B, you can read B on the matter of Nadab and Abihu. This is on page 8. Then you can read the positive example of John the Baptist. He wasn't filled with wine, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit that replaced the wine. Brian, what are we doing on Saturday night? We're drinking! But we are drinking the Holy Spirit. Okay? Indeed, today we in the principle of the Nazarite should allow the Holy Spirit to replace the wine, the earthly pleasures, earthly enjoyments, by being filled in our regenerated spirit with Christ unto the fullness of God. This is why Ephesians 5:18 is a marvelous verse. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit. How about we say right now, Lord, fill me in my spirit. Amen. Lord,
fill me in my spirit.
Sisters. Brothers,
Lord, fill me in my spirit.
I don't want to be filled with worldly wine. I want to be filled in spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, the second item of the Nazarite on page 8. How about we have the brothers read this? Roman numeral 4. Okay.
Shaving the head, being subject to the headship of the Lord, and to the authority.
Then how about brothers read A?
Shaving the head signifies not rejecting, but being absolutely subject to the headship of the Lord.
Sisters B?
Amen.
And all together on C. Nazarites are those who are full of submission. With them, there is a submissive standing, a submissive atmosphere, and a submissive intention. With such persons, if there are such persons, there will be a great blessing for them and their future. This is a marvelous point. This is a serious point that we should not do anything, right? We should not do anything. In this example, to shave the head is to cast off the Lord's authority over us. The Lord, in His arrangement and in His ordination, has put the authority over us. A Nazarite would never cast that authority off. This can become something very damaging. Related to the serving ones among us. As soon as we begin to criticize, what about this? They wouldn't let me go on this bus today. They kept me away from this friend, that friend. If I only had another serving on, I would really enjoy the Lord this weekend. I mean, that's terrible, right? What is that? You know what that's doing? That's shaving the head. That's shaving the head. A Nazarite should have the hair that is long, signifying that this person is always under authority. Brother Benjamin will cover this matter again in a later message. So I'm so happy that we can cover this again, because this is really, really important, especially as young people. Brothers and sisters, in a young age, we should learn never to be rebellious. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. When we see Samuel, we will see he never rebelled, yet the Lord used him to change the age. We should never rebel in any way. We should always be under what the Lord has put over us, right? We have to have a submissive standing, a submissive atmosphere, and a submissive intention. There's a lot of things here. There's a lot of lessons here. But I just like to say, we have to be so careful, even how we speak to our parents. This is a great matter. You know, there are certain things in life that we don't have a choice. The first item we don't have a choice with is who our parents are. That's God's arrangement. If we had a choice, we would all make big mistakes. So don't think if you had a choice, you could do better. No. Who the Lord gave you as parents are the right parents. Even if they're sitting right next to you in the meeting and watching you, how you take notes, how you getting this point, make sure that my son gets that point, especially about submission. James, make sure you get that point. Don't forget that point. And so when James shares, as moms and dads, we want to make sure they got the point about submission. Remember? Submit, submit. Remember that point. Well, regardless, our parents are there ordained by God. What a joy it is to honor them in every single way. To honor them. Brothers and sisters, this will give us great blessing. And this will, what? Continue our usefulness in the Lord's hands for years and years and years to come. Rebellion never profits. I'm so glad we have so many older brothers amongst, Brother Jim, Brother Dan. They've seen, Brother Benjamin, all kinds of things in the church life in all these years. I think they can agree that rebellion never profits. It just never profits. At all times, at all, whether we feel this or that, we should always have an honoring attitude. We should always have a submissive spirit with a submissive intention, right? In this way, we will be blessed. Well, because we have rebellion in our heart and in our nature, what do we have to do? The second E, okay? The first E is we enjoy the cheering Christ. The second E is we can enjoy the submissive Christ. He is one that is always submissive to the Father. When you see the example there in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, right? Just read some of those portions, Ricky. Could you do that? Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Listen to this, who Christ is. Go ahead, Ricky.
Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Who, existing in the form of God, did not consider being equal with God a treasure to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave.
He was in the form of God, and he took the form of a slave.
Becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of a cross.
Then in Colossians 1:18, we see the very Christ who is the head. He's the firstborn of all creation, and he's the head. He holds the prominent place, the preeminent place in the universe, and we like to give him the first place in all things. In other words, when we enjoy Christ and give him the first place in all things, we eat such a Christ, spontaneously, automatically, we will enjoy the submissive Christ. We will enjoy the very Christ found in Colossians 1:18. Well, when we give him the first place in all things, spontaneously, we will know the order. We will know within what the order is. I appreciate that in Colossians 1:18, it mentions that we give the Lord the first place. But how do we give the Lord the first place in all things? The way we give the Lord the first place in all things is found in Revelation 2:4, that he could be our first love. When he is our first love, we automatically give him the first place. As soon as we take the first place, all kinds of things begin to happen, right? All kinds of things. Even maybe some of you came to this weekend. It's very glorious for you to be here this weekend. Yet you came not in a good way. Maybe you had a disagreement with your dear parents before you came. I hope the Lord would touch you. You have to take care of that. You must take care. If you would like to be one who's a Nazarite, to enjoy Christ in such a way, to enjoy Christ as your portion, to enjoy the heavenly taste, to enjoy the heavenly wine, to enjoy the cheering Christ, you must take care of these things. When you would take care of that, my, your joy would be full. Don't think it's a small thing. Today, it is easy for young people to agree, disagree with the parents, even argue, sometimes violent arguments. My, if you had an argument with your parents and you're here enjoying, quote, quote, the Lord in this conference, you have to call right away. If the Lord touches you, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I like to take you. I like to eat you. I like to enjoy you as the real submissive one. You would call, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry, so sorry that I argued with you before it came. Please forgive me. Do you think your parents would say, ah, you always do that anyway? No. They will fall down on the ground and worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All the parents know. We spend time on our knees, not because our young person or our child has gone here or gone there, but because they apologize. Wow, when they apologize, we really know the Lord is gaining some ground in them.
Amen.
Isn't it something that the two hardest English words to say is, I'm sorry? You would think contumacious is a hard word. But Lord, I'm sorry. But the Lord touches us, and He doesn't let us go. Amen? I'm sorry. Wow! That helps you to enjoy the cheering Christ. But you say, Lord, I don't want to do that. I mean, I'm embarrassed. I mean, they're my mom and dad. I mean, they're going to think I'm a weakling. No, they're going to know you're enjoying the cheering Christ. Or, brother, so-and-so, or sibling so-and-so. Siblings, they really love one another, but they also fight with one another. They just. But if we contact the Lord may touch us. What about that? What about that? What about that? I'm sorry. When we say that, when we take care of that, we eat the real Christ. We eat the cheering Christ, we, the submissive Christ, automatically we could be a Nazarite, right, full of submission. Okay, we'll go on to message number three, on page 13, not touching spiritual death and hence not being defiled. There are two points here in B and C that are the last two items of a Nazarite. First, a Nazarite abstains from wine. Second, a Nazarite should not be rebellious. Third, a Nazarite should not have a natural affection. And this is found in Roman numeral 1b2. How about we ask the brothers to read A and the sisters to read B? Okay, go.
The most hateful thing in the eyes of God is death, and a Nazarite must not be defiled by it.
Sisters? This is a matter of natural affection, or you could say natural friendships. The Lord is our friend, but we shouldn't just have natural friendships. Why? You may say, what is the reason? Why can't we have natural friendships? Why is a Nazarite not allowed to have this kind of natural affection? The reason is natural affection always ferments. As it mentions here, honey, there is no honey that is allowed in the meal offering in the book of Leviticus. Why? Honey starts off sweet at the beginning, but it can always ferment. Eventually, you become so naturally related, your relationship with one another becomes fermented. I will give you an example. You know, when we have natural friendship or natural affection with one another, we have without even knowing it sometimes, unconsciously, we have created a clique. We have created a friendship. We have created something called partiality. We love those among us. We don't like those outside of us. And to be accepted into this clique is really something, because I'm the center. But this kind of cliques, you know, this happens even at our most holy meetings. We're so happy that the Lord opens the doors for the gospel. But at the gospel meetings, sometimes the young people come and yet just congregate together. The new ones come looking around for someone to talk to. There's no one to talk to because all the young people are clicking together. Why? You just come. Introduce yourself. You minister Christ to them. You speak to them a little bit. This will be very good instead of congregating. That's why I'm so glad that the brothers today in the buses, everyone got blended together. You don't know who's from where. We're all blended together, right? We shouldn't have any kind of natural friendships in the church life, because we have what this could cause is different levels of love. And in the Bible, this is called spiritual death. Eventually, we may like one another, but eventually we may kill one another, not physically, but spiritually, right? Not natural. Okay, how about we read number two together? Okay, the natural, B2, sorry, go ahead. The natural love. Okay, I better go on because of time here. How can we be freed from natural affection, natural friendship, and cliques together is the third E, okay? And this is by enjoying God as love. We enjoy the cheering Christ. We enjoy the submissive Christ. Now we enjoy God as love. Number three says, God does not want us to love with our natural love, but with Him as our love. In Philippians 2:2, the apostle says that he would like to see those with the same love, right? Is that right? Philippians 2:2. Could you read that, Ricky? Philippians 2:2.
Philippians 2:2. Make my joy full that you think the same thing, having the same love.
The same love to one another. We have the same love to one another, right? I love James, but not a partial love. I don't love him more than Nathan. I don't love him more than this brother. Right? We love one another with the same love. And this causes us not to have any difficulties in the church. Okay, then we enjoy God as love. In Philippians 2:2, as our brother read, we have the same love. We also, I'd like to tell you another way to enjoy God as love. I love this footnote in Ephesians 5:25, and I'll just read a portion of it to you. The way to enjoy the very God as love, that we could become His personal treasure, that He could infuse us as the real priest, is what? Is that we would enjoy Him. In the footnote in Ephesians 5:25:1, I will just read a portion of it. It says, the goal of this book is to bring us into God's inner substance. As priests, our main responsibility is to be brought into God's inner substance. I don't know how to illustrate this, but sometimes I've thought about this. God is like Willie. You know, God is not like me. I'm a little smaller, but look. And sometimes you have the thought as you're there with the Lord, you're there in the Word, and you just feel like you're being brought into God's inner substance. I feel like I'm just being inner substance. Look how big the inner substance is. I can just hide in this inner substance. Look. I can just hide. We as priests have the privilege to get into God's inner substance. And it's very amazing. When we go into God's inner substance, what do we find? Love! He just loves. We find love in God's inner substance. What? That we may enjoy God as love. We may enjoy God as love and enjoy the sweetness of the divine love. I hope someone would make a bumper sticker. Have you enjoyed the sweetness of the divine love today? This is what we are as priests. This is what we are as Nazareth. We get the privilege of coming in to God's inner substance to enjoy the sweetness of the divine love, thereby loving others as Christ did. How do we love others? You may say, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Brian, if anybody, he's an unlovable. He's just an unlovable character. There is no way that I could love Brian. And the Lord put us together in the same locality. How can that be? The Lord put us together in the same campus. How can that be? The Lord put us together in the same brother's house. Oh, Lord, that's too much. I'm migrating. Brother Jim, I have the burden to migrate. Brother Jim says, for what reason? I don't tell him the real reason. Spiritually, because of this, because Brian is in my house. I have to get out of there. No. As you enjoy God as love, amazingly, you love Brian. Why? Because God loves Brian. Don't think that this is just something that is just illustrative. No, this is our actual experience. We can even love all the unlovable ones. Isn't it something that God loves? You know, Jerry, it says in the Word, you remember in Matthew, it says that God reigns. He reigns on the just and the unjust. What? He reigns on the unjust first. It says unjust and just. If I was God, I would give all the just people reign and all the unjust people no reign. That proves I'm God. Follow me, you get rain. You don't follow me, you don't get rain. But God, he gives rain for the unjust people first. What is this? This is God's love to man. Wow. And this very love that we enjoy, right? This very love that we enjoy. In this love, we can love others as Christ did. This is the real love, not our natural love, but the real love in Christ. Okay, I think we better go on here. And then it goes on to say, number C, we are being cleansed. This is the last point on the Nazarite, being cleansed of the defilement caused by the sudden death of someone beside him. This is a matter of death. A Nazarite has to overcome earthly pleasure. A Nazarite has to overcome rebellion. A Nazarite overcomes natural affection. And a Nazarite overcomes death. Here we have that someone suddenly may die beside us. Then it says in number one, different kinds of spiritual death may spread among God's people in the church life. Wild death, mild death, or subtle death, all death. If we are defiled by some unexpected deadness, we should be cleansed by re-separating ourselves to the Lord. That is, we need to have a new start. What is death? Death is a sense. It causes us to have our spirit weak, our spirit dull, down. It cannot rise up to pray for some days. Someone dies suddenly. What does this mean? This means, in a practical way, our Brother Lee gave the illustration, to die suddenly is someone next to us who we've known for quite a while, all of a sudden begins to speak something negative. Gossiping about this, about that. Whether it is true, whether it is not true, is not up to us. Anytime somebody speaks something negative, something critical, right away we should depart. You don't even stand next to them. If they die suddenly, you just run away. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to analyze it. Best thing is to run away. And then tell the older brothers. You know, the older brothers among us are marvelous. Any kind of negative problems I have, I go to Brother Dan. I just love to give all those things to him. Because I love him too. But you know what I mean. I just can't. Brother Dan, he just eats those things for breakfast, right? I'm saying this because the older brothers among us have the experience of how to handle this. We don't have the way. We don't have the experience. If someone begins to criticize, someone begins to gossip, just close your ears. Wow, this would give that person a big signal. Right, James? If you're standing here and I tell James, come here. Let me tell you about Vern here, James. Let me just tell you about, hey, Jim, come here. I just want to tell you just 1 minute, just real small. Don't you think I get the point? I get the point, right? He did right. Or you can just, oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great creator became my savior and all God's I don't know about you, but I refuse to be a trash can to anybody. If you come to my house, if I invite Jerry to my house, and he just looks at my trash and hangs out around my trash, I would say, what kind of person is that? This is exactly what happens if we allow and open up to gossip and negative things to come into it. We should just flee. The way we know we've heard some gossip or some negative things is that we lose our love for the Lord. We lose our love for the meetings. We lose our love for the Word of God. Anytime the source is proper, it always causes us to love the Lord more. It always causes us to love the church more. It always causes us to love the Word of God more. Right? This is the proper source. Okay. Then, because of time, how are we saved from this kind of death? The last point here. This is the last E. We have to enjoy the death swallowing Christ. In 2 Timothy 1:10, our very Christ has nullified death. His death was a devil-destroying death. His resurrection is a death-swallowing resurrection. When we enjoy this Christ, all the death is swallowed. All the death is nullified, right? We have a death-swallowing resurrection. And I appreciate how 1 Corinthians, the last verse on message number 3 ends. It talks about keeping the feast. The way to be saved from death is to experience, to enjoy this very Christ who swallows up death, who nullifies death by enjoying Him as our feast. We don't want anything to take away our enjoyment of Christ. Eventually, all kinds of death has only one purpose and one intention and one goal, that is to take away our enjoyment of Christ. Anything that takes away our enjoyment and our taste of Christ is of death. Anything that increases our enjoyment of Christ, our enjoyment of the Word, our enjoyment of the meetings is a source of life, and this is what we should eat. Amen. Nazarites eat life, amen. And Nazarites separates himself from death. So in conclusion, wow, Leviticus chapter 11 is so rich. That's in point D on page 14. It talks about the different contact with people. To live a holy life separated from death, we need to exercise care concerning our contact with people. Leviticus 11, our eating signifies our contacting of people. And it talks about all the different kind of animals that we have to have contact with people who divide the hoof and chew the cud. In this case, in these situations, in this portion of the word, the animals represent the type of people that we are associated with. Animals that divide the hoof, that means the animals that have discernment. Animals that chew the cud, that means, not animals, I'm sorry, believers, right? The dear people, the dear saints who chew the cud, what does that mean? That means they love the Word of God and they read the Word of God. Aquatic animals that have fins and scales, what does this mean? Signifies persons who can move and act freely in the world and at the same time resist its influence. The Lord says in John 17, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. The Lord has sent us into the world, but you have to go in with fins and scales. I hope this weekend you would grow fins and scales. That when you go to class, you are in school, but you are not of the school. Then we have to associate ourselves with birds, people, that have wings for flying and that eat seeds of life, right? Signify persons who can live and move in a life that is away from and above the world, and you take things of life as their life supply. Then we have those who have wings and have legs above their feet for leaping on the ground, signifying persons who can live and move in a life that is above the world and who can keep themselves above the world. Then finally, how about we read Roman number 2 together, okay? The Nazarite separation, sisters, A.
Each of the offerings brought to God is an offering.
And then brothers, B.
The enjoyment of Christ as these offerings indicates the overcoming of natural affection, earthly pleasure, rebellion, and death.
So, as Nazarites, we have to be separated or overcome natural affection, earthly pleasure, rebellion, and death. How? By enjoying the cheering Christ. How? By enjoying the submissive Christ. How? By enjoying God as love. How? By enjoying the death-swallowing Christ. As Nazarites, as we enjoy that, then what? We are not here just to see what we shouldn't do, but also what we should do. What should we do? We should enjoy the cheering Christ. What should we do? We should enjoy the submissive Christ. We should enjoy God as love, and we should enjoy the death-swallowing Christ. As long as we enjoy Christ in this way, we are intrinsically the real Nazarites. Then finally, point C, the Corinthian believers were encouraged to overcome the sinful leaven among them by keeping the feast, enjoying Christ as the unleavened bread, the Christ of our new nature as our nourishment and enjoyment. He is the life supply of sincerity and truth, absolutely pure without mixture and full of reality. The entire Christian life should be such a feast, amen, such an enjoyment of Christ as our banquet, the rich supply of life. Amen. Marvelous. Wow. I hope we have a little view of the Nazarite, and we will see in the subsequent messages more riches on this matter. I think if we could just conclude with maybe a song, brothers, and then you could tell us what portions to read. Maybe the brothers can tell us what portions to read. Since we have 2 pages of excerpts, we've just selected some of the paragraphs for you to read for your enjoyment before you testify, okay? Willie, go ahead.